people have like this perception of what being bisexual is. Mm-hmm. And so I've just noticed that experience over and over again, which has been interesting.
I can relate. I feel the same way, but I also feel like I'm also like, I do love threesomes. Yeah, so it's like, so am it's I like... playing into this? And you too, like we like to play.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean.
Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Thanks so much for coming back week after week. I have a wonderful guest here with me today, Ms. Oiku. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We're going to talk about a lot today. You have a fabulous story. I'm excited to learn more about you. You grew up in a Turkish household, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So I'm curious because we're going to talk a lot about kind of your sexual journey and your sexuality. So let's just dive in. I would love to know what it was like growing up in a Turkish household and how that kind of influenced your sexual journey.
Yeah. So my parents were very strict growing up. I definitely couldn't, I had a boyfriend for like 2.5 years, couldn't really sleep over his place. And I was 23 at the time. And, I grew up in Turkey up until I was 8, then relocated to New York. But, my parents, kept some of the traditions. And even though I wasn't necessarily in a religious household, there were definitely some things that they were against. And I rebelled as a result of all that and did everything under the sun that I wasn't supposed to do. And I hope my mom doesn't listen to this podcast because I don't know how she would feel about that. But
so she doesn't know all your rebellious natures.
I mean, she knew I was definitely rebelling. It was very evident, but she didn't know exactly what I was doing.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the stricter parents are, the more like kids tend to lash out and do all the crazy shit. So that was me.
That was in a nutshell. Nice. Do you feel like you ever questioned your sexuality at a young age, or has it always felt like you knew who you were?
I have always been bisexual. I never questioned it. It was very natural to me from a young age. I was drawn to beautiful women and in the form of teachers or, friends of my parents or, older women and also girls. And I remember playing, games with girls, and I would be like, okay, I'm the husband, you're the wife. Let's do what husband and wife do and just explore with girls my age. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people do that when they're growing up and kind of coming into their own sexualities. They're exploring with people that they're spending most of their time with. And so I think I knew all along and never questioned it.
Yeah. Did you feel some shame though, based on your family feeling strict, or do you feel they kind of welcomed your sexuality?
Yeah. So my parents, they didn't welcome my sexuality, but I didn't feel that much shame at the time. Now looking back, I think there's definitely shame that I've internalized over the years that is now starting to come out, especially as I start to do podcasts like this or, build beyond, and I have a more public appearance, presence, I guess, yeah. A presence. And it's really interesting talking about my sexuality in a public setting, because I definitely am starting to navigate that shame that's always been there that I just have ignored.
Yeah, definitely. What was it like? Did you have a coming out moment, or... you always felt kind of bisexual, but was there a moment that you told people that you really loved?
I think I was 13 when I learned what bisexual meant. And I identified with it right away. I was like, oh yeah, that's me. So it felt very natural to, once I learned what the word was, to resonate with it. When it came to my coming out moment, it was actually my mom who discovered some handwritten notes that a friend of mine was passing to me in class that I had kept in my little memory box. I don't know if you've ever had
a memory box. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So, I would keep funny things in there, or things that, brought me joy or made me sad. It was just where I stored all my little treasures.
Your treasures.
And so I had a close friend in school who would pass me like the most inappropriate notes. And I remember she passed me a note that said something like, "Oiku likes vagina" or something like that. And my, you know, they made me laugh. So I kept them. And my mom one day was going through my room and discovered my memory box and discovered these notes. And so she brought it up to me and was like, "Is this true? Are you like into girls?" And I remember thinking, you know, this is my moment to come clean and just kind of own it and build a closer bond with my mom. Or I could just lie and hide it forever. So I chose to tell the truth. And it kind of backfired. Mm-hmm. She didn't accept it. And so every time we were alone, she would, you know, continue to bring up my sexuality, and it felt really uncomfortable. So around that time, my my relationship with my mom was a bit rocky. And yeah, that was my coming out journey. And then we just kind of like swept it under the rug and we didn't really speak of it again. But now I'm sure she's aware of it, especially as I'm talking about it very openly.
Yeah. Have you, thanks for sharing and being vulnerable. It's a journey. I can relate a little bit. But I'm curious, are you like, do you talk about it now with her at all? Or is it still kind of,
Yeah. And what about you? Are you also bisexual, or how do you identify?
Yeah, I do. I identify as bisexual or just queer, I guess. I don't know. I've always said bisexual. And I definitely, I don't know if I have like these memories from like very young ages of like, I don't know. It always felt natural, like being attracted to just like beauty of people. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of, I feel like with women, we're very fluid beings in general. So like growing up, there were always instances where I would be like making out with my friends or having moments with girls in college. And there was just definitely moments where I was like, yeah, this is definitely, I would fuck a girl, but it never felt like weird, you know, that always, I was surrounded by women that also had those same feelings. So it was always something that was just like, we never defined it as a sexuality, I guess.
Yeah.
But when I finally went home with the woman for the first time, I was like, oh, okay, this is a thing.
I'm really curious about like boys when they're growing up, if they're experimenting with their friends the way that girls do.
I think not as much. I really don't think so. I know that some, like, I think boys are a little bit more like next to each other exploring kind of thing, but I don't know if they're more like, I feel like women touch each other and we like love on each other and we kiss each other. And there's a little bit more of that exploration. Whereas boys, like they'll like masturbate next to each other. Like that's my perception anyways. I don't know.
I'd be curious to find out.
Yeah. We should do a study or something, figure it out. But what was your first experience like going home with a woman? Like, were you predominantly dating men throughout like kind of like your high school and middle school? Or
I mean, all my first experiences and explorations were with girls.
Okay, great.
From a young age. And then it wasn't until college was when I first had a girlfriend. And we dated about like 2 or 3 months. It wasn't a real relationship, but that was my first time actually like having feelings for a girl and calling her my girlfriend.
Right, like falling in love and all that.
I wouldn't take it that far.
Definitely wasn't
falling in love, but I was infatuated with her.
Right. And then it was serious in a way.
Kind of. Yeah. At the time.
A girlfriend.
Like a 2 month relationship. You
okay.
Know?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The best part was the physical. It wasn't really, you know, like it was very emotional for me and I'm extremely avoidant. So I felt like we weren't aligned in a lot of ways, but the physical part was like the best and the most fun part of the relationship. And then after that ended, I definitely wanted to explore my bisexuality more. And so like when it came to relationships with guys, I wanted to incorporate some of that feminine energy into the relationship.
Yeah. Were you always clear-headed? Like you knew you also liked men? Or were you like, oh, maybe I'm like only into women? Like, did you ever question it that direction?
There was definitely a bit of a range for me. Like in the beginning, I was more into girls. I would say I was like 60% into girls, 40% into guys. now that's shifted a bit for me. And I think my life partner would be a man, but it would have to be someone who's also very open-minded, values aligned, and sees the world and relationships that the way that I do. And someone who doesn't necessarily like limit me in my experiences. I would want someone who kind of like nurtures my growth and exploration, and has to be open to sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's lean into that. Cause you are the CEO and founder of this, kind of non-traditional dating app, would mm-hmm. you call it that sort of? Yeah. So you've definitely had a lot of experience with kind of non-traditional style relationships. So it sounds like you want to be in a more of an open scenario, right?
Yeah. I identify as more as a monogam-ish. So mm-hmm. I like to share my partner. I'm very, I don't feel a lot of jealousy in relationships, and I'm very accepting of other people, you know, playing a part in the relationship. So it wasn't always like that. I remember feeling some jealousy back in college, but I recall, like, you know, something funny that I used to do was like, I would go to the bar with my boyfriend at the time, and we were in a monogamous relationship. And I would have him hit on girls. I'd be like, that girl's really cute. Go talk to her and buy her a drink. And so, like, looking back at that behavior, it's clear to me that there was some level of compersion at the time that I didn't even understand. Mm. And now it's like my everyday. Well, I don't have a partner, but, you know, like the types of people that I'm around, it's very normal behavior, I guess.
Yeah, that's funny, because I have a memory too of being like so annoyed with my college partner, my college boyfriend. He was just jealous all the time. And I just remember being like, why? Like, I don't understand. It's just your friends. And I'm like, not even flirting. And like, I like watching you like flirting with other girls. It's like, so it's interesting. You have that kind of natural voyeurism in you a little bit, mm-hmm. Which is how I feel like I am, which is why I lean into like threesomes and play parties and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So was there like a pivotal moment for you where you were like, oh, this is what I need to be doing. I need to lean into ethical non-monogamy, or were you just like, let's just try it? Or was there?
Yeah. I think I started questioning it around like while I was in that monogamous relationship, and towards the tail end of it is when I really started exploring it. So I was in college and I started, you know, questioning monogamy as a relationship style, because I just felt like I kept failing at it. Mm. And I remember, you know, my boyfriend at the time, he had his whole life kind of mapped out, like this timeline. You know, I want you to graduate, move in with me. I want to get engaged at this age, married and have 3 kids at this age. And I was like, holy shit, I just want to travel the world. Like, I wasn't ready for all that commitment. And he knew exactly what he wanted. And I was a lot more open-minded and wanted to explore. And so after we broke up, he actually found someone and did just that. Like, he got engaged. Now he has like 2 or 3 kids. And I'm like, good for you. Like, you followed your dream. Mm-hmm. And now I'm following mine. And I feel really authentic and liberated with the path that I chose. But, you know, if it wasn't for that relationship, I don't know where I would have ended up, but I definitely started questioning it because of that, like all those expectations of me. And it just never felt right to me. And then after I graduated from college, I actually met a couple, and their relationship dynamic really inspired me. And up until that point, I always felt like, you know, my open mind and a committed relationship couldn't coexist. I had to choose one or the other. And so seeing their relationship dynamic was inspiring, because it made me realize that the right person will actually celebrate your open mind and uplift you and like allow you to have all these experiences and grow together.
Yeah, that's the best part of this lifestyle. And I think a lot of people that tap into the monogamish energy, they're explorers. Like, mm-hmm. they're kind of more free spirited, you know, they don't want to feel like tied down, or they just want to embrace the growth and evolve that, that we can experience in that style of like yeah. relationship.
And I think that society just teaches you that monogamy is the default, and that's kind of like the only way of doing things. And so realizing that there was that there were alternatives to that was absolutely mind-blowing to me and opened up Pandora's box in a way. I'm sure you can relate to that as someone who's had her own exploration, but it's really interesting that a lot of people don't even know that this world exists, and they feel so dissatisfied in their relationships because they can't even express their desires or like explore anything outside of the norm or even bring it up to their partners because they're so afraid that it might rock their relationship.
Yeah. Have you ever had a situation where, have you like brought it up in a relationship and ever been kind of shot down?
Oh, yeah. I, for some reason, always dated guys who weren't even into threesomes or into exploring that side, which was interesting because like growing up, I always felt like guys were always the ones who were like curious about doing all that. And then, you know, in my relationships, I was always the one who was curious about exploring that side of relationships. And it wasn't
ever reciprocated as much.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah, I can relate for sure. Or it just not in like the level that I wanted it to. You know, I think I was in a few open relationships when I first moved to LA, and they were like too much, you know. Mm-hmm. I like that you used the word monogamish, because I feel like that's how me and my partner identify. Like, we definitely love to play. We love to explore. Mm-hmm. We love to try new things. We love threesomes and moresomes, but it's more of like a novelty thing for us. Like, it doesn't mm-hmm. happen all the time. Like, I like to have that. I don't know. I like traditional things like monogamy, that monogamy allows, or like marriage and kids and things like that. So there's mm-hmm. like some kind of balance to it, I think, for me.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's any like traditions? Like, you said that there was no really religion in your household growing up. Was there? Like, did that ever affect like your upbringing, or was it more of just like the strict structure?
I would say more of like the strict structure. I mean, my parents weren't super religious, thankfully. But Turkish culture does kind of have some of that religious influence. And so like there were, you know, if I was wearing a skirt that was like really short, like, you know, I would see people look at me differently on the street. And that kind of made me want to rebel even more. I was like, oh, I shouldn't be wearing this. I'm going to absolutely fucking wear this outfit, like just to make other people uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. I'm fighting against their own conditioning and trying to like be a disruptor.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm doing the same thing with the dating industry now with Beyond, but yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about Beyond. So tell us about it.
So Beyond is the first membership app for modern relationships. And the way we define modern relationships is honest, intentional, and inclusive of all relationship styles. And to us, community is core to our brand and our business. So we have a vetted and curated community, and everyone, is referred to the app, and we make sure that everyone is a real person. So I would say like, that's one of our biggest differentiators from other mainstream apps out there. And then we're definitely appealing to a more open-minded audience. So, you know, we have monogam-ish as an option, which I haven't seen in other apps. And that is really representative of our audience. And one of the reasons why I wanted to create Beyond was because, you know, I've tried a lot of dating apps out there, including Tinder, Bumble, Hinge. And I always felt like they created this like coming out moment almost, because, you know, I'm bisexual, I'm open-minded. And I remember, you know, like second or third date, I'd be sitting with a guy that I'm developing feelings for and have to be like, hey, by the way, this is how I see the world, and I'm ethically non-monogamous and blah, blah, blah. And like, hope that he was okay with it, and just know that he might actually walk up and walk away from whatever was developing between us because of the differences. And so I never knew kind of like if I met someone off a traditional dating app or from a bar or whatever, like where that person was on the spectrum of open-mindedness. And so one of the reasons I wanted to create Beyond was, you know, to cultivate a beautiful, vibrant community where everyone was kind of like starting off on the more open-minded end of the spectrum. And there wasn't any guessing.
Yeah, so you know right away, like if they're monogamous or polyamorous or whatever, you know, that's nice.
Yeah. Or even if you're like monogamous or, you know, heterosexual or whatever it is, at least you are more open in the way you see the world. Like you are just a more open-minded, self-aware, intentional person all around. And so like, you know, it could be really beautiful for cultivating friendships in addition to relationships and finding a partner.
Yeah, yeah. Beyond too. I love that name for it. It's beautiful.
It's like beyond the norm, beyond tradition. Yeah. Have you been on any dating apps yourself?
Well, I just downloaded yours today. so I'm excited to give that a try. Yeah, we typically, if we're looking for like a third or we've had a lot of success with Field, but I do think that that app itself is like not the best using it wise, but I don't know. We not really anymore. I'm too busy with life. It's like now, like my partner picked up this girl at work the other day. So I feel like there's just like, now we try to find people out in the world.
Yeah. It makes sense.
As much as we can. But of course, yeah, I think it's really good to have like an app that you can find like-minded individuals. And that's what I've always found with Field. So I'm excited to try your app. It sounds like intentionality is a big theme of this podcast too. And so I love that that's kind of like one of your pillars, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say to someone that like feels like they're questioning their sexuality or feels unsure about their, you know, their pleasure or like how did you kind of harness it in the way that you are today? Cause you feel so secure in your being.
You're welcome. It took a long time, I guess, to get here, but I think it's really important to prioritize your pleasure and also just trust your instinct. Like if there's something you want to explore, it's, you know, you shouldn't be standing in your own way. And I think, you know, being from a super metropolitan and open-minded city like New York, which is where I grew up, and now I live in Miami and we're doing this in LA. Like I think in these cities, it's really easy to take that advice. But I don't know how it is for someone who's grown up in like a small town, if they can be brave enough to, I guess, take that route. But that would be my biggest advice, is just to like own it and be unapologetic about it and don't be afraid to explore and don't stand in your own way.
Yeah, great advice. Thank you for that. I feel like bisexuals often too get like this, I don't know if it's a bad rap, but they just don't feel as validated and like secure because everyone thinks like, oh, you have to choose, or there's just like this energy around bisexuality. Do you feel that ever? Like, I mean, we already kind of talked a little bit about how like you've questioned it a little bit, but do you ever feel like society puts like this pressure on like your sexuality, being bisexual?
Thankfully, no, I haven't felt that as much. I think bisexual men probably feel that pressure more than bisexual women, because I think that bisexuality is so like, it's like you see it in porn all the time, and it's kind of like fetishized almost, especially in a male's gaze. So like, I haven't personally felt that, but there is definitely like this reaction whenever I tell someone I'm bisexual. Not so much anymore, but like I remember growing up mentioning that I was bisexual to someone, and their like face would light up and they're like, oh, you see like threesomes, and you like, you know, and it's like automatically this like, you know, this, I don't know what the word is. It's like people have like this perception of what being bisexual is. And so I've just noticed that experience over and over again, which has been interesting.
I can relate. I feel the same way, but I also feel like I'm also like, I do love threesomes. Yeah, so it's like, so am I playing into this? And you too, like you know, we like to play. We like to have both sides of the spectrum. Like that's what makes it so lovely. But I do think again, like there is a balance to it, and there's like, it's also about freedom and feeling secure in yourself. And I think you also, it sounds like you came up, like you were kind of born this way, obviously your sexuality, but also born like into being turned on by like your lovers with other people, which is how I feel too. And not everyone's like that. So
yeah, I was like, what's wrong with me like at that age, you know, because yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. And now I'm like, oh, okay, that's compersion.
Yeah. It's or it could be considered a kink too, you know, yeah. Like it's definitely group play or voyeurism. Like there's definitely all these angles that you could just be like, oh, okay, that's just something you really like. Mm-hmm. Or I talk a lot about erotic authenticity. Like it's really just you and your authenticity, and mm-hmm. you should welcome it.
But yeah.
Anyways, well, I'd love to hear as we wrap up, like your last time you had a sweet release, which is an orgasm here on the podcast, if you're comfortable sharing.
Probably like, I mean, usually every day.
Nice. I love that.
I actually just, one of our founding members, Munisha, she is a brand ambassador for this brand called Crave or Love Crave. Mm. And it's like a vibrator necklace.
I've seen those.
You can wear. It's super elegant. And I entered this like raffle that she had and won a little like gold vibrator necklace. So I've just been wearing it out casually to meetings, and I use it all the time.
Oh my God. I've seen these. I think they did a really good job of marketing. I feel like I was getting those ads constantly on Instagram, but I love that idea. I love the idea of like having a space where it's sexy and mm-hmm. also like having clothing or things that you could also utilize in the bedroom. So that's one of my dreams is to get like a necklace, or I've had people on here before with like some cufflinks that you can like use in the bedroom too, but they're like bracelets.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So you like your self-pleasure is like,
I prioritize it.
You prioritize it. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I'm glad to hear it. Well, could you share, before we let you go, like if people want to check out your app and how to find you and all that.
Yeah, for sure. So on Instagram, you can search Date Beyond. That's Beyond's Instagram page. And then my personal one is Cheers with Oiku. And we'll probably post that under the video. Yeah. But aside from that, you can search for the app by searching Beyond Dating. So we have the iOS and Android available, and yeah, you can just submit an application. And right now, whoever gets in will be locked in for free membership. And then we're going to begin charging soon. And you'll also get access once you're approved to all of our events, because we're really big on IRL connections. So we host a lot of events in New York and LA, and also retreats.
Amazing. And I was just talking recently in an episode where that's the best place to find people for mm-hmm. threesomes or for just exploration is at events.
Yeah.
And so that's a really cool perk. So sign up, sweets. yeah. Thanks, Oiku, for being here. I appreciate your vulnerability and for opening up and sharing your experience with us today. And sweets, thanks for coming back. We love you, and be sweet to yourself. Talk soon.
Thank you.